How to Listen to God by Charles Stanley. Chapter 10, Listening and Obeying. A young man who once came to me was probably as gifted in the ministry as anyone I have ever met. He was extremely well trained and equipped for godly service. He came to me with a decision, and as he began to share, the Spirit of God spoke in my heart with quick alarm. A red light flashed within, and I said, "Don't do it, you're not ready." I explained to him why and entreated him to listen to me. He wouldn't. He decided he was ready, the time was right, and he turned a deaf ear to what God was trying to say to him. After 2 years, he lost his ministry, his marriage, and everything he owned, including his self-respect. Several years later, I received a letter from him. It began, "Dear Dr. Stanley, if I had only listened." I firmly believe God gave this young minister his counsel through the insight the Spirit of God planted in my heart. The young man heard God speak, but he declined to heed God's warning. As one goes through Scripture, it becomes evident that listening's crucial companion and completing mate is obedience. Throughout the Old Testament, God repeatedly exclaimed, "O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it." It was not that Israel failed to hear God. He sent his servants, Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and dozens of others, to his people with clarion announcements. They heard his intentions all right. They just didn't comply. Just as their frequent difficulties stemmed from not obeying God's voice, so too does much of the pain, hurt, and suffering in our lives result from failing to respond obediently to God's voice. It is significant that in the first couple God created were the features of those who listen but refuse to heed and so reap the painful harvest of disobedience. Genesis 2:15-17 capsulizes this perennial principle. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.'" Although Eve did not sin against God until she partook of the fruit, the results of hearing but failing to act appropriately are clearly demonstrated in her life. God had placed in the Garden of Eden a perfect environment. Adam and Eve had everything in it were heavenly. His instructions to maintain this pristine life were as lucid as a cloudless sky. "It's all yours. I created this for you. It's available to you for your enjoyment and your pleasure. All I want you to do is take care of it. I will give you the strength and wisdom to do so." Then he added, "I have only one restriction. There is one tree in this garden that I have put a circle around, and under no condition are you to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat that fruit, you shall surely die." There was no way for Adam and Eve to mistake what God said. He was very clear, concise, and brief. They could not forget that simple word of caution and admonition. Isn't it strange, when we think about our own lives and God's provision, how Satan points to the one thing we have no business doing? Isn't it amazing how he enlarges the one forbidden area? Every "thou shalt not" in the Bible is a promise of God's protection. He always looks out for our best interests. He is not preventing us from enjoying life, rather he is preventing us from destroying ourselves and placing ourselves in a position where we cannot enjoy life. Every "thou shalt not" is an expression of divine love to his children. Of course, we know that Satan tempted Adam and Eve. Eve ate the fruit, offered Adam a bite, and sin entered the world, so that we still suffer the result of their indiscretion. I want to share 8 principles based on this scriptural account, which soberly depict what happens when we fail to hear God's revelation. They are enduring truths which know no boundaries as to season, age, or era. We listen to the wrong voices. First, when we fail to listen to God, we listen to the wrong voices. Unlike Eve, we do not live in the Garden of Eden where there is no sin. We live in a world rampant with sin. And when we turn deaf ears to what we know God is saying, we listen to the wrong voices. We begin to pay attention to other attractive voices that have only one thing in mind: our ultimate destruction. One of the most tragic acts anyone can carry out is to turn a deaf ear to Almighty God. Thus, Satan is given a place instead. We often know what God wants us to do, but somehow we say, "I know, Lord, but..." When we say "but," we're really telling the Lord we don't want to hear what he is saying. It is then we turn our ears to those voices that lead us away from the will of God, away from his purpose in our lives. We are easily deceived. Second, when we fail to listen to God, we are easily deceived. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4 records Satan's conversation with Eve. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" That is, he said, "Now look, let's get the full viewpoint of this thing. I know what God said, but let's not get so narrow-minded about this. The truth is, you surely shall not die." Friends, when we listen to other voices, we become easily deceived. Satan, who is the father of all lies, deceived Eve by his cunning, crafty, subtle words. He used almost the same words God used. Not choosing to listen to God when we know he is speaking to us is an act of rebellion. When we listen to voices other than God's voice, our perspective becomes unbalanced. The individual who is tuned into God and who listens to God is mentally sharper and clearer than the person who does not listen to God when it comes to spiritual or moral issues. He has a perception, an awareness, an attractiveness that others do not possess. There is a power to concentrate, a discernment that the non-listener does not have. Satan easily deceives us by saying, "You don't mean to tell me that you think you're going to be like your parents? Your parents grew up in a whole different generation. They went to church because there wasn't anything else to do. They didn't have television and all the activities that are happening. Going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night was their entertainment. This is a whole different age, a whole different society. Surely you don't want to be like them." Whenever we get in a conversation with the devil, we are headed for failure. His appeal is to our flesh. The more we listen, the less distinct God's voice becomes. Satan's shouts are all too easily deafen our ears to God's still small voice. We find ourselves thinking illogical thoughts, rationalizing and tolerating attitudes and actions that we know are wrong. When we fail to listen to him, the other voices sound so inviting. We express pride and independence of God. Third, when we fail to listen to God, we express pride and independence of God. The bottom line of all sin is independence. Satan told Eve, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." What he did not tell her was, "Eve, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil, but I'm here to tell you, Eve, you're going to hate the day you ever learn the truth about evil." Every single time we choose to disobey God's revealed truth, we choose to act independently of Him. It is an expression of our pride. We tell God, we can handle it. We declare to an omniscient God, who knows our past, present, and future, that we're making the best choice. That's like a five-year-old dictating the menu to his mother because he knows what is most nourishing. Isn't that foolish? Isn't that the epitome of all folly, that we would act independently of God because we think we know what's best right now? We'll never know better than God knows. Just as Satan slyly conned Eve into subtle pride, so he lures many young people into sin because their friends say, "Well, you'll never know till you try it." Wouldn't each of us agree that we have learned some things in life we wished we had never learned? We've experienced what we wish we had never experienced. That's the subtlety. When we fail to listen to Him, we listen to other voices whose appeal is that of independence and pride, and whose value system is the antithesis of God's. We make decisions that appeal to the flesh. Fourth, when we fail to listen to God, we make decisions that appeal to the flesh, not to the Spirit. Satan doesn't appeal to us concerning our hunger for God. He doesn't appeal to us concerning our thirst to know Him. He doesn't appeal to us in our desire to be obedient to God. He doesn't appeal to us in our desire to know the Word of God. He doesn't appeal to us in our desire to understand the meaning of prevailing prayer. What does He appeal to? What did He appeal to Eve? Genesis 3:6 explains, "So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Satan appealed to Eve's desire for wisdom to make her eat from the tree. On the other hand, God is interested in speaking to our spirits. He is interested in what is best for us and our families. Even though we have been saved and have a brand new nature, the principle of sin abides within us. We no longer have to yield to it or be dominated by it unless we choose to be. We are no longer conquered by it unless we give in to it. There is a power working within us greater than all the power of sin, Satan, and hell. But when we cease to listen to God, we listen to what appeals to the flesh, and so we are deceived. Our names may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but if we don't listen to God, the same Satan who appeals to the unbeliever will use the same methods to appeal to us as believers. That's why we must be people of God whose ears are bent to listening to God. The world speaks a different language from the one God speaks. The world marches to a different drumbeat from the one God marches to. God wants our ears tuned to Him because He wants to give us divine directions and because He has our best interests at heart. If we are honest today, however, we'll have to admit, whenever we stop listening to Him, we start listening and making decisions based on things that appeal to the flesh, not the Spirit. We make excuses for our wrongs. Fifth, when we fail to listen to God, we make excuses for our wrongs. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9 says that when the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Don't think for a minute that God didn't know where Adam was. He wasn't asking for information. He knew exactly where Adam and Eve were, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Adam responded, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Remember, Adam had never been afraid before. Fear was a brand new emotional experience. He was hiding out of fear, just as many of us hide emotionally and spiritually. God said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? God never asks questions to find out information. God asks questions to receive a confession. So he queried Adam. Adam's tragic reply is found in Genesis 3:12. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. He was blaming it on someone else. Listen to the next verse. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." You know what? That's what we do today. God speaks to us, and we know exactly what he is saying. We try to rationalize our disobedience, but God doesn't listen to any excuses. When God speaks and we turn a deaf ear, our alibis are unacceptable. We can't blame somebody else. God had spoken very concisely to Adam, who told Eve. Eve couldn't tell God, "I couldn't remember your instructions," because God had said clearly, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That is the point. Since God knows our future, our personalities, and our capacity to listen, he isn't ever going to say more to us than we can deal with at the moment. So we can't blame our failures to listen on anyone else. I've come to the Lord on many occasions and tried to plea bargain away some of my inadequacies. I rationalized some of my behavior, blaming it on the death of my father when I was very young. Then one day, God showed me that I couldn't blame my sin and pain on any person or circumstance. It makes no difference what happened to me or you. I'm responsible for my responses, and you are responsible for yours. We will suffer the consequences. Sixth, when we fail to listen to God, we will suffer the consequences. When God finished talking with Adam and Eve, he listed the consequences that both Satan and they would have to endure. Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15, indicts Satan. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, Christ, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That's the cross. Satan did injure him because of sin, but Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was the victor. Then in verses 16 through 19, God listed the painful results of Adam and Eve's rebellion. To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Later, the Bible says he cast them out of the garden. When Adam and Eve ceased to listen to God but listened to another voice, they lost it all and suffering began. All suffering and pain ultimately can be traced to the evil of the garden. When we fail to listen, we will suffer the consequences. The most serious business today that you and I should engage in is listening and heeding the voice of God. As a pastor, I have seen much suffering because people refused to obey God's counsel. One particularly successful minister wanted to enter a new field of ministry. Some very professional people advised him that he was not capable of engaging in that work. Everyone who knew him and loved him, everyone who was looking out for his best interests, said, Please don't. He turned a deaf ear to this wise, godly counsel. It cost him his life. How many times have I sat down with a distraught father who had counseled his daughter, Honey, don't go out with that fellow. There's something about him that tells me you should avoid him. He doesn't have a godly mind. She turned down God's voice through her father and ended up pregnant, ruining her life. So many pregnant teenagers have listened to the deceiving voices of evil and now have to live with tons of guilt that only God will be able to remove. Literally dozens of men I have known have confessed, if I had only listened to my wife. She told me it was a bad deal, but I figured she didn't know anything about money or finances. She pleaded with me not to go through with it, I wouldn't listen, and I lost it all. During one marriage counseling session, I said to the young woman seated beside her fiancé, Don't marry this man, he doesn't love you. They both looked strangely at me. I explained, Let me tell you why he doesn't love you. When I asked him these crucial questions concerning the values of the marriage relationship, he gave me the wrong answers to every one. There is no evidence of his love for you, but only evidence of his desire for gratification of the flesh. She didn't listen. Someone else married them because I wouldn't perform the ceremony. I can still remember her standing in my office door one day, tears streaming down her cheeks. It had only been 4 months since their marriage, and she said, If I'd only listened to you. There is no way to turn a deaf ear to God without suffering. After a church service a few years ago, a young woman came up to me and related this story. I know exactly what you were talking about this morning. I knew when I married my husband, who was an alcoholic and not a Christian, I shouldn't have done it. I knew that wasn't what God wanted me to do, but I did, and my marriage is wrecked, lost, and gone forever. God is just now beginning to put the pieces of my life back together. Before you get ready to do something, if there is a gnawing deep inside, a sneaking suspicion, think twice before acting, because God could be telling you no. Be wise enough to stop, confront God and say, Lord, would you tell me one more time what your will is in this matter? God will tell you the truth and save you a lot of pain. Others around us are hurt. 7, when we fail to listen to God, others around us are hurt. We cannot sin in isolation. When a husband fails to listen to God, his wife hurts. When children fail to listen to God, their parents hurt. When a man in business fails to listen to his godly partner, their business hurts. When the leaders of a nation fail to listen to God, everybody in the nation hurts. Other people hurt when we fail to listen. Adam and Eve's disobedience resulted in the alienation of the entire human race. Their sin in the garden reached around the world. We miss God's very best. Finally, when we fail to listen to God, we miss His very best. The Garden of Eden was God's best, but Adam and Eve lost it all. My friend, let me ask you a question. Many people are on the brink of losing God's best because they have chosen to listen to a voice other than God's. God has provided the finest for you. If you fail to listen, you'll go through life having missed God's very best. Are you willing to substitute what Satan has to offer you for God's supreme gifts? When you listen and obey, God's best will be yours. In 1 Samuel 15, Samuel sent Saul on a mission to go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Saul, however, saved some of the best spoils and spared the king's life. When Samuel discovered Saul's disobedience, Saul replied, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Trying to accommodate his fellow warriors and their greed caused Saul to lose his perspective on God's original command to eradicate Amalek and its king.